Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Bush announces mail drop program at Texas State Veteran Homes. OA News at OAOA.com. Austin. Texas Land Commissioner George P. Bush announced Monday the revamp of Mail Drop, a program geared toward creating community engagement with veterans who reside in Texas State Veterans Homes run by the Veterans Land Board. The program seeks to generate awareness within our community and encourages them to interact in a socially distant manner with the men and women who serve the nation. Although America's veterans often receive recognition on significant holidays and events, the men and women who dedicated their lives to our nation and the ideals of freedom should be remembered each and every day. Mail Drop encourages community members of all ages to write letters, draw a picture, or hand-make cards for veterans to show gratitude for their service. Community members are asked to write a veteran near them in one of our 9 Texas State Veterans Homes in Amarillo, Big Spring, Bonham, El Paso, Floresville, Houston, McAllen, Temple, and Tyler. Protocols for disinfecting mail are in place at all 9 homes, a news release said. Community members who wish to participate can receive information regarding how to address your mail drop letters at vlb.texas.gov/maildrop. Letters can be addressed to Texas Veteran, care of Mail Drop, 1020 Tascosa Road, Amarillo, Texas, 79124. Texas Veteran, care of Mail Drop, 1809 North Highway 87, Big Spring, Texas, 79720. Texas Veteran, care of Mail Drop, 1300 Seven Oaks Road, Bonham, Texas, 75418. Texas Veteran, care of Mail Drop, 9650 Kenworthy Street, El Paso, Texas, 79924. Texas Veteran, care of Mail Drop, 200 Veterans Drive, Floresville, Texas, 78114. Texas Veteran, care of Mail Drop, 14041 Cottingham Road, Houston, Texas, 77048. Texas Veteran, care of Mail Drop, 301 East Yuma Avenue, McAllen, Texas, 78503. Texas Veteran, care of Mail Drop, 1424 Martin Luther King Jr. Lane, Temple, Texas, 76504. Texas Veteran, care of Mail Drop, 11466 Honor Lane, Tyler, Texas, 75708. On the net, www.glo.texas.gov. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020. Page 6A, OAOA.com. Suicide Prevention. Parents should look for warning signs in children, by Ruth Campbell, or at CAMPBELL at OAOA.com. Child and adolescent psychiatrists at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in Midland are busier than ever as they help youngsters and parents navigate the world of COVID-19. Young children and teenagers may be experiencing more anxiety and depression than usual. They may also have thoughts of suicide. September is National Suicide Prevention Month. Dr. Shailesh Bobby Jain, regional chair professor, said they are busier than before. He noted that 40% of his office's clients are children and adolescents. Dr. Priya Cody, child and adolescent psychiatry fellow, said COVID-19 is a driver of anxiety, but she is also seeing a lot of children doing well at school online. so they are actually less anxious in terms of attending school. Anxiety is reduced because they don't have to actually go to the school, but at the same time, a lot of children are cooped up in the house, Godie said. They can't talk to their friends. They don't have their friends there. Their friends can't come visit them at their house. Cody added that making friends and socializing is a challenge for youngsters. She said adolescents and children are experiencing more depression because they can't participate in the activities they normally would. Everything is restricted, so that's where I think a lot of anxiety is coming from. They always want to go out, but all they can do is just stay home and play video games, Cody said. If a child was already having anxiety or depression, the current conditions could make it worse. Dr. Mohammedan Nabi, director of outpatient clinics, said parents are under stress as well. I also think parents' socioeconomic status plays a huge role, Cody said, especially during these times. If a family environment is non-nourishing, like Dr. Nabi is saying, if the parent is having underlying mental health issues, the kids are getting more impacted from that. Nabi said children quickly absorb things from their environment. They can get anxiety from their parent or their primary caregiver, Nabi said. Watching the 24/7 news cycle on TV can also amp up the anxiety level, as can parents discussing financial difficulties. The parents may be under so much stress that they don't have enough time to give to their children, so everything adds up, he said. Dr. Geetha Manikara, psychiatry resident, said talking is a good way to work things out. Actually, talking about suicide, it decreases the stigma, Manikara said. It helps the person experiencing those thoughts to have some relief. So just asking them, how are you coping with things going on? Do you have any thoughts about wanting to hurt yourself? Or have you thought about how you would go through with that? Just staying connected. It doesn't have to be in person. It can be by telephone or by video call or by social media, and help them to understand the importance of having a daily routine gives them structure. It gives them motivation, and it decreases anxiety to get through the day. Manikara added that exercising and spending less time reading negative news helps. She suggested visiting trusted websites and keeping an eye out for warning signs from children, like if they say they're fed up or stuck, or they don't feel like living. She said children also can become more withdrawn, less communicative, give away possessions, become more irritable, and not being interested in activities they were interested in before. Cody said Manikara's point about having a routine is important. She said parents should have firm schedules for their children, like making sure they go to bed on time. I would say the younger the kid is, the longer duration for sleep is needed, Jane said. A preschool or school-age kid needs 9 to 9.5 hours of sleep. It doesn't change a whole lot, even in adolescence, even though the adolescent will fight going to sleep. So I would err on the side of giving them more sleep, so between 9 and 9.5 hours. He said suicide in children is not as rare as people would like to think. There are records of children killing themselves as young as 3 or 4 years old. Suicide tends to run in families, and certain kids with a high family history of suicide tend to have a high propensity of hurting themselves, Jain said. He added that suicide has risen among the adolescent population. It peaks again when people are in their 40s and 50s, and the rates among white males about age 85 are the highest. At present, Jane said his office is offering telehealth for individual and group counseling. But as the governor opens up the economy, they will be having in-person appointments. Some numbers to call are the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255, Trans Life Hotline, 1-877-565-8860. The Trevor Lifeline for LGBTQ+, 1-866-488-7386. Centers for Children and Families, 580-7006. UTPB Counseling Clinic, 552-3365. RISE Family Resiliency Center, 848-6944. And Permia Care Odessa, 550-1100. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020. Page 2, read. Permian Basin raises $530,000 to fight pediatric cancer. OA Life at OAOA.com. Hosting its first in-person fundraiser event of the year, Sky High for Kids hosted its annual Permian Basin Banquet and Sporting Clay Tournament on the September 19th weekend, raising more than $530,000 to support their vision to end childhood cancer. Over the course of the two-day event, over 250 guests enjoyed live music, silent and live auction, and more. Five selfless donors donated their hair for childhood cancer patients on stage at the banquet. Veteran Anthony Raditic was present to help auction off a heli hog hunt, and most importantly, patient family guest speaker Becky Decker, who lost two grandsons to childhood cancer, spoke to attendees on the importance of supporting childhood cancer. The event marked an important step as Sky High rebounds from recent challenges due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Whether it is time or money, we know that those involved in Sky High are making a difference in the lives of terminally ill children and their families, guest of honor Joyce Fisher said. Our hope is that every day we are getting closer to finding a cure for cancer, and we must all be a part of the process. Please donate and please pray for a cure. Sky High for Kids is on a mission to end pediatric cancer. In 2018, Sky High pledged an ambitious $40 million to Texas Children's Hospital and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, $20 million per hospital, to advance the treatment of children battling cancer and other life-threatening illnesses. After the cancellation of multiple events due to COVID-19, the organization estimates nearly $3 million in revenue losses. The funds raised at their Permian Basin fundraiser will help narrow the gap in Sky High's annual funding goals. Sky High has made ambitious pledges to end childhood cancer, said Brittany Hebert Franklin, founder and CEO of Sky High for Kids. We felt it was time to safely lead the community back to host in-person events to keep our mission in the forefront. Founded in 2007, Sky High for Kids' mission is to bring communities together to provide comfort, fund research, and save lives of those fighting pediatric cancer and other life-threatening conditions. Since inception, Sky High has donated more than $14 million, including $4 million in 2019 alone, to leading children's hospitals and research centers, including Texas Children's Hospital, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and the Ronald McDonald House of Memphis. In 2018, Sky High committed $40 million over 15 years to advance the fight to end pediatric cancer. Permian Basin guest of honor Joyce Fisher and family. James Durbin, The Oilfield Photo, Incorporated. American pickers looking for leads in Texas. OA News at OAOA.com. American pickers, a documentary series on the History Channel, is planning to return to Texas in November. Hosted by Mike Wolf and Frank Fritz, the show is starting its 11th year. It is looking for leads statewide of interesting people with interesting items. Wolf and Fritz only pick private collections, so no stores, malls, flea markets, museums, auctions, businesses, or anything open to the public. Taking COVID-19 into account, American Pickers is adjusting its schedule for the safety of those who appear on the show and the crew. The show will let the people selected know when they plan to come. The series explores the world of antique picking. It follows Wolf and Fritz, two of the most skilled pickers in the business, as they hunt for America's most valuable antiques, a news release said. They are always excited to find sizable, unique collections and learn the interesting stories behind them, the release said. They won't pick unless everybody is safe, so if they cannot make the dates they've set up with collectors, nobody's time is wasted, as the date will be rescheduled when conditions allow filming. Those who are interested can call 1-855-OLD-RUST, old-rust, 653-7878, or email AmericanPickers@Cineflix.com. That's AmericanPickers@CineflIX.com. The Facebook page is @GO-TAPICK. Borderlands Birding Bonanza launches. OA News at OAOA.com. Alpine. The Borderlands Research Institute at Sul Ross State University is launching a new series of outreach activities to connect people with birds through its bird conservation program. The Borderlands Birding Bonanza will kick off October 24th, 25th with a birding field trip to Alamito Creek Preserve, a Dixon Water Foundation property in Presidio County, south of Marfa. There are 40 slots available for a series of birding tours that will focus on riparian birds. The field trips will be organized into four groups of 10 people, and COVID protocols will be observed to ensure the safety of those participating. The tours will be led by experienced birders from the Borderlands Research Institute and partner organizations. The tours on October 24th and 25th will be capped at 40 people, and organizers anticipate it will fill quickly. Registration is required, and those interested in participating should register online. The field trip is designed to be accessible to all birding levels, from beginners to experts. The goal of BRI's bird conservation program is to advance the awareness, appreciation, and conservation of birds in West Texas. With more than 500 bird species in the region, it is no wonder that West Texas is a favorite destination among birders. Birding is also one of the main outdoor recreational activities from which landowners can derive substantial income, and BRI is working with private landowners to learn more about the bird species in West Texas. To that end, BRI launched a comprehensive study evaluating wintering grassland birds on private lands in 2016. During the first two field seasons, volunteers within the birding community across Texas helped researchers capture birds so that student researchers could record data for their studies. More than 130 birders contributed more than 1,500 hours to the project, affirming the potential for developing a new bird conservation program at BRI. Register for the October 24th and 25th workshop, bri.sulross.edu/events. Bynum to hold fundraiser. OA News at OAOA.com. The Bynum School is having its fundraiser Tucker's for Children, October 1st at the Midland Polo Club. It is a biennial polo match, dinner, and cocktail party. This year's entertainment features the fantastic country music group Flatland Cavalry, the school's website said. By showcasing the sport of polo, the hope is to broaden support for Bynum School and give the community an occasion to understand the work and needs of the school, the site said. For information on sponsorship and other ways to support Bynum School, call 432-520-0075 and ask for Tracy, or email tbush@bynumschool.org, tbush@bynumschool.org. On the net, www.bynumschool.org. This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020, OAOA.com, page 3. Local news roundup. Virtual event. The Midland College Business and Economic Development Center has scheduled a live virtual evening with Brian and Laura Sales, owners of Sales Team Realtors, at 7 p.m. today. MC President Steve Thomas will moderate a discussion with the Sales as they describe how they developed their successful realty group. The candid discussion will detail their experiences starting and growing their company, lessons learned, and best advice for new business owners or those considering opening a business. This virtual event is free and open to the public. To join, go to http://www.midland.edu/the sales team. For more information, call Paul McCord at 686-4913 or email pmccord@midland.edu. Concert. The University of Texas of the Permian Basin Philharmonic Orchestra has scheduled a concert with works by Corelli, Bartok, Gershwin, and Aguiar at 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. today at Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm Road, 1788, Midland. The conductor will be Jean Gomez. Admission is free. Face masks are required. Visit tinyurl.com/y3fu350. Free COVID-19 testing. The City of Odessa, in partnership with the University of Texas Permian Basin, has scheduled free mobile COVID-19 testing events at the following times, dates, and locations. Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Sherwood Park, East 49th Street and Cordova Street parking lot. October 14th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Floyd Gwynn Park parking lot, 1015 North County Road West. Events are for City of Odessa and Ector County residents. First come, first serve. Proof of residency will be required. Bring ID. Only 200 tests will be administered at each event. Participants must remain in their vehicle with the window up until a testing team member approaches you. Children as young as 3 years old are eligible for testing. No appointments or pre-registration required. For more information, call 557-6557 or visit www.odessa-tx.gov/COVID testing. From Staff Reports. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020. Opinion. How to overcome a conservative Supreme Court. among Americans who are not politically conservative, the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her pending replacement evoke anger and despair. A court with an impregnable 6-3 conservative majority is likely to roll back all sorts of rights and protections, leaving many people at risk. The most obvious likely casualty is the court's 1973 decision granting constitutional protection to a woman's right to abortion. Four justices voted this year to allow a highly restrictive Louisiana law, and Donald Trump's next appointee is almost certain to provide the fifth and decisive vote for that option. Roe v. Wade has as much chance of surviving as a sandcastle in a tsunami. States, we can assume, will soon be free to ban most, if not all, abortions. But all is not lost for women's reproductive rights. That's because the Supreme Court is the last word only on constitutional questions. It is likely, sooner or later, to rule that there is no constitutional right to abortion. But there is no constitutional right to all sorts of things that federal and state governments provide, from public parks to health care coverage. Those exist because Americans want them. Several states have passed laws to preserve abortion rights, even if Roe is overturned. Should Democrats win the presidency and gain control of the Senate, added to their existing control of the House, they could enact a federal statute preserving access to abortion. Senator Elizabeth Warren, D. Massachusetts, proposed one during her presidential campaign, and rivals Kirsten Gillibrand, D. New York, and Cory Booker, D. New Jersey, endorsed the idea. If and when the court overturns Roe, the legislation would get a huge boost. Americans have conflicting feelings about abortion, but most describe themselves as pro-choice rather than pro-life, and don't favor discarding the 1973 ruling. A federal measure would make state bans moot because federal law preempts state laws. Such legislation could even be an improvement on the status quo. The Supreme Court has upheld some state laws that make it more expensive or cumbersome to get an abortion. Waiting periods, mandatory counseling, parental involvement rules, and bans on some late-term procedures. Congress could sweep these obstructions away. A federal law, of course, would be challenged in court as an unconstitutional intrusion on state powers, but the court has long recognized the right of the federal government to regulate anything that has the slightest connection to interstate commerce, which abortion clearly does. Any court that would abandon a Supreme Court decision protecting abortion rights might be tempted to strike down a statute protecting them. But Jonathan Adler, a libertarian-leaning conservative law professor at Case Western University, told me, "It would be hard to deny Congress the power to regulate here without also cutting back congressional power in other areas. And if a federal law protecting abortion rights were unconstitutional, laws like the federal partial birth abortion ban would likely be unconstitutional too." Abortion is not the only realm where democracy can undo what the court does. In 2013, a 5-4 majority, led by Chief Justice John Roberts, overturned a section of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which required some states, mostly in the South, to get federal approval, pre-clearance, of any changes in voting laws. The rule was designed to prevent racial discrimination in places where it had been rampant. The court said the policy was unfair because it singled out some places based on evidence dated to the 1960s rather than on current conditions. But last year, the House approved a bill creating new standards for pre-clearance based on more recent voting rights violations, which would apparently satisfy the justices' demands. The court has repeatedly ruled that partisan gerrymandering, which many Republican legislators have used to disadvantage Democrats, doesn't violate the Constitution. But University of Chicago law professor Jeffrey Stone says it might not hold that it is unconstitutional for the federal government to prohibit gerrymandering. There is no doubt that a more conservative Supreme Court would be a threat to all sorts of worthwhile initiatives and valuable liberties. The Affordable Care Act, environmental safeguards, reproductive freedom, access to the ballot box, and more. But voters can circumvent the court on many issues by electing people who will advance their priorities, starting with Joe Biden. The confirmation of a conservative justice to replace Ginsburg would close off one path to progress for years to come. But democracy offers an alternate route. Chapman, Stephen Chapman. Chapman writes for the Chicago Tribune as well as being a syndicated columnist. Find out more. Read Chapman's daily blog, www.chicagotribune.com/news/opinion/Chapman. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020. Death Notices. Nathaniel Miguel Ramirez, Odessa. Nathaniel Miguel Ramirez, infant of Odessa, died Thursday, September 24th, 2020, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 4:30 p.m. Friday, August 2nd, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Nancy Lucille Timmons, Comanche. Nancy Lucille Timmons, 74, of Comanche, died Saturday, September 26th, 2020, in Comanche. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. September 30th, 2020, at Downing Cemetery. Arrangements are by Comanche Funeral Home of Comanche. Joyce Ann Toboda, that's T-O-B-O-A-D-A, Midland. Joyce Ann Toboda, 77, of Odessa, died Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Tuesday, September 29th, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Reverend Debbie Cummins is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020, the education section. Teachers, families deserve apology and a word of thanks. Young Women's Leadership Academy teachers, parents, and students, you have stepped up and showed up. And I, along with so many others, am grateful. Our world changed in an instant, suddenly and literally, with no warning. Before this, we knew school. We knew our roles in school, and we were comfortable in school. And then things changed. I am a fixer, but I can't fix this. I don't have the answers. I'm sorry. You all deserve an apology. An apology for being forced into the unknown and still showing up, and an apology for changing abruptly, pivoting on a dime, and continuing to put on a brave face. I know this hasn't been easy. It definitely has not been fun, and I am hopeful for a different tomorrow. To the babies who didn't get to finish kindergarten and are now first graders with so many learning gaps, I am sorry. To these students, teachers, who carry the responsibility of filling the gaps, virtually and face-to-face, I am sorry. And to the parents who carry the worry of their child's learning, or lack of learning, with them every day while juggling so much, I am so very sorry. to the high school seniors who don't even know what this year will look like, I am sorry. Will there be a prom and assemblies and excitement? Or is that gone forever? Do the parents of these seniors who have waited for these moments, cameras in hand, plans to be made? I'm sorry. And to the teachers of seniors who have the task of making sure these students who missed so much school in the spring are ready for graduation in the next level, whatever level that is, I am so very sorry. But I also want to say thank you to the teachers who juggle their own children with continuing to show up for their school children. Thank you. To the teachers who are still working on how to take attendance, plan for learning, and grade virtually, through hybrid and face-to-face, thank you. To the parents who have missed work, lost jobs, juggled new math, and became technology wizards basically overnight, thank you. And to the students who have been forced into a new way of learning, a new way of playing, and a new way of life, thank you. The water is muddy, and we don't have the answers, but I work with and around some of the best educators in Texas, and we are desperate to meet the academic needs of our students while assuring our families that we are safe and the students are safe. As a mom, I stand with you. I am struggling also to support my children, while also trying desperately to support our teachers and families at school. As a school employee, I also stand with you. We can do this. We can move through this and emerge stronger. There have been so many words and phrases that have emerged from this new world we live in. Pivot, uncertain times, social distance, 6 feet, mask up, can you see my screen? But I urge you to make hopeful the new word of this pandemic. I am hopeful that we will emerge stronger. I am hopeful that the new skills we have all learned will make us more connected. I am hopeful that through all of this, we are closer and more supportive of each other. And I am hopeful that through this, we become more resilient and more prepared for whatever else is thrown our way. Hope might be the best thing we have right now. Jennifer Siebert is principal of Young Women's Leadership Academy. Trinity's Chaplain Takes On New Role by J.C. Lewis, jacy.lewis@hurstmp.com. Shannon Weisenfels, named Director of Spiritual Life, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Trinity School of Midland has committed to inclusion, equity, and diversity with the addition of the Director of Spiritual Life, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Shannon Weisenfels has taken on the position after serving 2 years as the school's chaplain. Head of school Shelby Hammer said the position was created to educate students about what's going on in the community so they learn to respect for people who are different than they are. About 30% of the student population at Trinity identifies as either a person of color or someone with a diverse ethnic background, Hammer said. We want to be a school where all of our students feel like they belong, regardless of their racial or ethnic background. We want to be a school that celebrates the differences among us because we think that's a great way to learn and a place where students learn respect for people who are different than they are. Last fall, the school went through a reaccreditation process, and the visiting team acknowledged that diversity, equity, and inclusion was an area in which the school could grow. Hammer said placing Weisenfels in that position was the logical choice. As an independent school in the Episcopal tradition, we wanted to embrace that spiritual side in Jesus' direction to love one another, so it made sense for our chaplain to take on that role, Hammer said. Weisenfels is a Presbyterian pastor and served as an associate at First Presbyterian Church for over 11 years. She stayed home with her children for a couple of years before becoming the chaplain at Trinity 3 years ago. When Mrs. Hammer offered me this opportunity, I was really flattered by it. And also, any time a position is new, it is hard to know exactly what to expect, particularly a position focused on justice issues and helping students feel like they belong could be challenging, Weisenfels said. I did see it as an opportunity for me not just to teach and talk about how we love one another, but to practice that more myself in this Trinity community. She has attended several conferences and online workshops about diversity and inclusion, and has read and listened about events that have happened over the summer and the topics that are alive in the nation today. The chaplain said she sees this as a calling for her life. "I am definitely still learning, along with everyone else, but I have a heart for this," she said. "It has always been very important to me, and I think I have good rapport with our students and my ability to communicate with them." Weisenfels plans to work with students one-on-one and in larger groups. She said she also hopes to have student-led opportunities within these discussions. "One of the things we're trying to focus on this fall is remodeling civil discourse for our students in the midst of our political diversity in an election year. How to listen well to others and how to understand another position, even if you don't choose that as your own. To have those conversations with respect and honor one another." Hammer said faculty members and parents will be part of these conversations as well. The school has received a largely positive response about the creation of the position. Some people have been nervous and concerned the work is political, but Hammer has assured them that the work is about humanity and not about politics. "We're more diverse than people think. We are more diverse racially, ethnically, and socioeconomically. We have a lot going on here, and in that regard, our community is ready to embrace this learning." Flowers named Henry Chair of Engineering, from staff reports. Midland College Engineering Department Chair Brian Flowers has been named Paula and Jim Henry Chair of Engineering. Flowers joined the engineering faculty in August 2016. Since that time, enrollment in the engineering program has grown over 600%, according to a press release from MC. College officials credit this to several factors in which Flowers has been involved, including specialized engineering research projects and articulation agreements with university engineering schools. Flowers participated in selecting engineering equipment for the college's Concho Engineering Lab. The Henry Foundation gave the college a grant for much of the lab's equipment, according to the release. "Everything we do at Midland College is to help students be successful and advance into their careers as quickly as possible," Flowers said in the release. "Engineers must be one-half scientist and one-half business person. A good engineer knows how to take the fundamentals of math and science and use those as tools to solve a real-world problem. My goal is to ensure students who are interested in pursuing engineering careers are prepared for their future classes and beyond." Flowers obtained his doctorate, master's, and bachelor's degrees in chemical engineering from the University of Alabama. He was a Texas Community College Teachers Association faculty fellow in 2018 and was named the American Society of Chemists Graduate Student of the Year for the University of Alabama in 2015. The engineering chair was created through an endowment from the Henry Foundation and employees of Henry Resources. The gift commemorated the 50th anniversary of Henry Resources, which was last year. The position is the college's second Henry department chair, President Stephen Thomas said in the release. Jim and Paula Henry gifted an endowment in 2011 that established the Henry Chair of History. The gift to Midland College that established the engineering chair recognizes Jim's pioneering spirit in petroleum engineering, his contributions to the Permian Basin oil and gas industry, and the tremendous impact that the couple's business operations have had in the Midland community.
Cumbagan Eye Drops. Dear Dr. Roach, I found your response to a question about shortness of breath in a recent column very interesting. Since I had the problem for a couple of years before the cause was identified, I had been to an oncologist, cardiologist, and family practice and had all proper tests and x-rays with no answers. The answer was found at the eye doctor. I had been prescribed Combigan eye drops for pressure in the eye. I have asthma and should not have been prescribed this drug. Since I stopped taking the eye drops, my breathing is slowly returning to normal. It was very frustrating because all physicians had a complete drug list, but never picked up on it. JMC. Answer. Combigan is an eye drop that contains a beta blocker. Beta blockers are effective treatment for elevated eye pressure, which is the major risk factor for glaucoma. Enough of the beta blocker can be absorbed into the system that sometimes people can experience side effects. The most common ones are exacerbation of asthma and slow heart rate. Medicines that stimulate the beta receptors, like albuterol, open up the airways, while those that block the beta receptors can close them. Usually, people experience wheezing or coughing that gives a clue to the reason for the shortness of breath, but not always. Similarly, the heart rate can drop into the 40s in people taking beta blocker drops. I am glad your eye doctor figured it out. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020, etc. Many reach out to grieving widower. Dear Abby, your advice to the grieving widower in need of someone, June 22nd, was spot on. I met my husband when I was 14. We married at 18, and he died when he was 44. After his death, I had no idea how to be a person because I had always been a partner. In the early years, I cried every day and was searching, like in need, to fill that empty spot in my life. Then one day I started figuring out what to do about the other holes in my life. I had not been the breadwinner, so my income was poverty level. I had no college and not a lot of work experience. I knew if I was going to be able to keep my house and put my kids in college, I had to work on these other holes. In the process of school, working three jobs and keeping up with life, I realized I had never thought about what was important to me. Over the years, I have seen several close friends lose partners and go through exactly what in need and I have experienced. Your advice is so true. Volunteer, get a part-time job doing something you like or a job that will just give you someone to talk to. Go to a support group, go to a church, but do not get into a serious relationship. Because if you do, you will go from one dependent situation to another. Every person I know who went right into another relationship later regretted it. The new person is not your lost partner, never will be, and will never measure up. Go into a relationship only if you are willing to let the past go and are willing to change you. Be open to another opinion and a new lifestyle. You might like doing something you never thought you would see yourself doing before. You are not going to know unless you try. Do not look for a band-aid to fix the emptiness. Look for a seed to plant and nurture. And be prepared to be amazed at the beauty that will be opened up to you. Shelley in Illinois. Dear Shelley, thank you for sharing the important life lessons you have learned. Other caring readers also responded to encourage in need as he moves forward. Dear Abby, I lost my husband after 30 years together. I'm still working on getting from hollow to whole, as in need wrote. Your advice that he should figure out the boundary between where you left off and your wife began is an important insight. I've never heard this from a grief counselor, but it's exactly what I've been trying to do for the past 3 months. You can't live with someone else if you can't live with yourself. I'm working on becoming whole again, and it's happening slowly. In need should do the same. It may take longer, but it works better. Tammy in Oregon. Dear Abby, in need should get some hobbies. If I met a nice person and was considering pursuing a relationship, and I found out he had no hobbies, no outside interests or friends beyond his late spouse, I would be gone. Among my friends, I don't know a single one who would want a relationship with someone whose life was totally wrapped up in his spouse and needed a replacement. Nancy in New Mexico. Dear Abby, after my wife died, I joined Widow Information and Consultation Services in my home state. It was a wonderful way to be with others who had lost their mates, and it helped me realize I wasn't the only one going through this. Also, I decided to say yes to any invitations from friends to join them for dinner or a social gathering. Being around others helped to stave off the loneliness. In addition, I decided to travel by myself to Europe for a month, joining a group tour. I eventually found a wonderful lady, also a widow, and we have been married 15 years. Robert in Washington.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Libra and a moon in Pisces. Happy birthday for Tuesday, September 29, 2020. Intense, attractive, and capable, you must have more confidence in your exceptionalism. If you make sure to connect with others, you draw incredible success your way. Faith in your success is rewarded financially, too. If single, you'll search for a mate who gives you stability, and this year you find him or her. If attached, love will have sparkle and bring some surprises by the year's end. Cancer grows on you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. It's a wonderful day for learning and problem-solving, as intellectual capacity is in peak form. Although you might have no wish to communicate them, take note of ideas that occur now. They can prove useful later. Tonight, a quiet evening in front of the hearth. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. There will be opportunities to reconnect with old associates as the late autumn days shorten. You will feel grateful, as there are many near you who have so much less to work with. Today helps you manage time well. Tonight, online networking and invitations. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. You will be more visible in your professional sphere or in your public reputation and could acquire a bit of fame. There's a competitive quality present. Return to a creative project or hobby that was abandoned previously. Tonight, a renewed stability comforts you. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Get organized in preparation for a rather hectic time. Questions of status and credibility could arise. Don't be impatient or argumentative. Today is wonderful for forming goals and determining what you desire most. Tonight, relax and catch up with old friends far away. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Prepare for a few secrets to come to light. Explore investments and other strategies to establish long-term financial security. Today brings well-mannered and talented people to you. Any disputes will be settled amicably. Tonight, a glimpse into the motivation of others. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Be especially patient and very sincere. There can be an old hurdle to surmount before love is free to grow. It will. True happiness in a really good relationship can be attained. There are some complications related to home and family members. Tonight, deep talks. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Be aware of how the quality of light is affecting you and adjust it until it's ideal. You'll be amazed at how proper lighting can enhance your well-being. Declutter your desk and throw away old papers. Tonight, energy is freed, and you feel physically lighter. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Today you might expect a repeat of activities involving partnerships similar to those that occurred last fall. If there are any unresolved conflicts, you'll have the opportunity to deal with them once and for all. Tonight, watch out for clashes of will or stubborn disagreements. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Mental creativity or good news comes your way. today also bring opportunity for sizzling passion. However, be on the lookout for personal, domestic, or romantic squabbles, serious enough in some cases to lead to splits. Tonight, control blind emotion. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 4 stars. There should be plenty of news. Today promises much action in the areas of communication and local travel. Diplomatic relations go smoothly. If business travel to unfamiliar places is on your agenda, check your route. Tonight, catch up with a sibling or old neighbor. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 4 stars. Investments might lead to successes as some of you take a risk. Whether this turns out to be completely positive or negative really depends on your own personal natal chart. Tonight, however, inheritances or sudden windfalls are not beyond the realm of possibility. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 5 stars. Make hay while the sun shines. You are at your most charming and lucky, too. This is a great time for you to make a grand personal debut of any sort. Connections with those foreign-born are favored. Tonight, you give yourself a personal makeover. Born today, author Miguel de Cervantes, 1547, director Michelangelo Antonioni, 1912, musician Jerry Lee Lewis, 1935.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.